B-Pod Studios.
He doesn't have speed. He's got a big body. Isn't that what Jordan Matthews was? No, and they keep saying it. He cannot play outside. He's a very good player, but he can only play slot.
Okay, so he can kind of go inside and outside. I don't want him, but you've heard me.
I don't want him either.
If you heard me, I don't want him. I've been clear by saying that. But in fairness to the kid, I think he's got more speed than Matthews, and that he can go. He can go to the outside. I just don't think he's good enough on the outside.
Because Matthews ran like a tight end, and I don't want somebody.
No, this kid is an incredible route runner. Remember, he's like 6'1", 200 pounds. So he can move quicker than Matthews. And he's a really good, like, he's a great route runner, and he is a kind of kid that's real polished. But to your point, I want a guy that can go deep.
Just give me, instead of picking eight players this year, pick five. Or give him a second round pick next year and this year. Give him whatever you need to do. Give me Ruggs or give me one of those top three.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Why can't we do that? We're doing that for the defense. We spent so much money on defense, and the kid hasn't gotten anybody in the last couple of years. Can we just for once just give him a wide out? He had a wide out for a half a game, and look what he did.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
It's not that hard.
Listen, I'm with you. So, you know my plan. I want Ruggs, so I'm all about it. I want Ruggs. That's the kid that I'm focused on. I agree with you. In fairness, though, he's much better than Jordan. I think he projects much better than Jordan Matthews. But thanks, my brother. Be safe on the road, Sammy. We appreciate the phone call. It's 11:01, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. On a text board, Jim from the Palm says, whatever Tunis did, it can't be worse than crying when Larry Brown gets fired.
I mean, I'm sorry. I was like eight. Forgive me. Forgive me for crying. When did he get fired? 2004?
I'm just telling you what Jim from the Palm said.
I love Jim. I respect what Jim says.
Poor Jim's, you know, he's like in an empty restaurant with the chef trying to do takeout.
Yeah, I know. It stinks, man.
I know.
That was what, 2004? So I was summer of 04, so I was 10 years old. So, sorry.
I can't imagine my Anthony, who's 10, crying over Larry Brown or over Brett Brown. But I don't know. He knows who. I don't know if he knows who Larry Brown is.
Yes, probably right. He definitely doesn't know who Larry Brown is.
I think it's questionable if he knows who Brett is.
That's a huge loss.
Sorry, I meant to hit this one.
If you're ever saying that as a moron.
That was the Ben Simmons as a point guard.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I still can't believe you said that. I still can't believe you said that. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Who's ever saying that as a moron?
Poor Brett, right? He's going, I got my kid. I'm going to make him. He's going to be the point guard. And then he's got to hear Larry say that on local radio.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Let me go to a good football man right here. The Quaz. You're on 97.5. The Fanatic. Quazi.
Guzzo, what's the deal, homie?
What's happening, Quazi?
You talking my favorite topic. I ain't gonna say I hate Howie. You know I don't hate Howie, okay? But let's go back to the 2016 draft, okay? Now, remember when a week before the draft, he made all his moves, and he got down to two. And we knew he was going to get a quarterback. And I think one of his statements then was chocolate or vanilla or sausage or
pizza. Sausage or pepperoni.
Sausage or pepperoni. He knew he was going to get one at the quarterback.
It's like pepperoni or sausage.
Something like that, right? Yes. So I look at the rest of it. I mean, the first thing I looked at is you got to protect him. You have to protect him with the rest of these picks. If you're going to invest that kind of draft currency to go get your guy. You got to protect them. So I started looking at the guys in the third round who could help block. And it, just for fun's sake, I went back and looked at my notes. And we came away with Isaac Seumalo.
Right.
I never liked Isaac Seumalo. I still don't like Isaac Seumalo. Okay, that's why we still got to get interior line help right now. And that scares me. I hope that don't mess up the draft. I hope that he don't go get another guard early. I hope he don't. But the guy that was sitting there was a guy named Graham Glasgow out of Michigan. And I look him up on PFF. I just wanted just to figure out what's what here. Graham, he had 3 penalties against them and 0 sacks. Isaac had 5 penalties and allowed 5 quarterback sacks.
Yeah.
And we're talking about protecting Carson. Yeah.
Look at that draft, right? I mean, you had Seumalo in the third. You had Smallwood and Vitae in the fifth. I guess, you know, they became serviceable players. Jalen Mills, the seventh, is a good pick, but right. I hear you. I mean, you know.
He's got to do better than 50-50. And even where
2017 is the bad draft.
Yeah, we don't got enough time for that one because I do want to do the Daily Five. But, I mean, when I look at that, it just kind of bring me back to one of the players I just wanted to highlight for you real quick. On the back end, I left off with my high-profile free agent kids. These are the kids that's probably not going to get drafted, but we don't have a seventh-round pick this year, so we have to do our due diligence. And we have to get some high-profile guys at the back end because there's going to be receivers back there that are worth it. You know what I'm saying? They still worth it. One of the guys that I targeted was Freddie Swain out of Florida. Now, that's how he schooled. Now, Freddie Swain doesn't get drafted. There should be a limo sitting outside of his house on that Sunday morning from the Philadelphia Eagles with a sign on it saying, "Wish we had a seventh rounder." And go grab him. That's how he scored. It'll be unexcusable for him. Listen, and the only reason I brought his name up, he scores once every 5 times he's touched the balls. Now, he only touched the ball 68 times in 2 years, but he has 15 touchdowns. That's once every 5 times. He's a big play guy. He ran a 4.4. He would be able to push some of these other receivers I was calling for in the earlier rounds. So just he got to do his due diligence on that back end. And the other kid was Jordan Glasgow, his little brother, Graham's Glasgow's little brother. You can't watch a defense over there at Michigan without seeing number 29 in on everything. I want him as a special teamer. I think we need a special teams captain. We have a real special teams captain since Maragos. I don't even know what happened with that. But, I mean, a real bona fide ball on every special team making noise. I think he should go grab somebody like that. But let's have that five.
Buddy. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Quest number one. Go back and watch any player you want.
Go back and watch any player I want?
Yep. Go back in time and you can watch any player you want live.
Live. For me, it would be Mike Singletary.
Wow. I love Mike Singletary.
Yeah, I love him. Right. Yeah.
Number two. Give me the holiday sports moment that comes to mind.
I vaguely remember the Eagles kicking Dallas butt eating turkey on a Thanksgiving day.
Oh, that's a good one.
But that was real, right? My memory serves me. Didn't we beat them one time on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, man. Most recently, Chip Kelly.
No, I thought this team was. I thought there was Kelly Green. I'm thinking way back. Like,
oh, they beat. Yeah, well, that was the Buddy Ryan. That was the legendary pork chop bowl.
Right. You're right. It was the 6-legged turkey, and I remember them eating the turkey, and I was like, So that's the holiday one. All right, keep it moving.
Question number three, on a scale of 1 to 10, give me your faith in Howie.
4. Amen towards 5. Right. He did pick up Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert.
That's the whole thing,
about 4.
Okay, number 4, it's not reality, it's nostalgia.
My uniform.
Okay.
Here's my uniform for the color splash, and I know you don't like the color splash outfits. I love the new ATL outfits, by the way. But look, what is...
They were getting mocked by NFL guys.
Well, that's plus, them. I like the visual aesthetics of those uniforms. They look sharp to me. I like them. But look, what if we use that silver that we used to wear with Ron Jaworski years?
I like
with that Kelly green, right? The whole like uniform that. Is silver and go Kelly green letters and you wear that old Kelly green helmet and then just hit it off silver. In black.
What's that? I know black. I like the silver.
That's it was part green of their uniform.
Silver. Green and silver was a great is a great duo. Yeah, silver's awesome. I agree.
Just don't use the green as the main color. Use the silver. It can still look rough. It can still look sharp.
I like the silver. I like that. Quasi, thank you, my brother. The silver. Do you like the silver?
Yes, I do. I think that is actually a good
I'm
look.
I'm down with silver. Silver and green? To me, silver and Kelly green go real well together.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a nice look.
If you're going to, like, meld the looks together, like, to me, the old silver and black Raiders is awesome. So if you go silver Kelly green, I mean, that's incredible. Right?
Yeah, it's a nice look.
You're underwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Kelly green love affair.
No. No, but the
in the end, yes, it's a nice look. I think it looks good.
All right. We are. All right, let's take a quick TO. We'll come back.
I'm not checking Twitter on purpose.
Jeff McClain.
Come on, dude. You must not be from Philadelphia.
Oh, that's great.
When I get cut, I bleed Kelly green.
Oh, man, that's awesome. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It is Cuz Radio with Junis on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, I've been enjoying some of the draft talk, and you know, it's funny. A little bit later on, we're going to have our tech man Josh from Chop Dog. He's going to talk to us about some of the security concerns that the league will have with its virtual draft. Well, let's get into all things Eagles with my man. From the Inquirer.com. We'll talk to Jeff McClain coming up in just a moment. But we want to get into all that stuff with him. The security angle of it, who to pick. Here he is from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, my man Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yo, brother, how you holding up?
Surviving, you know. Hey, yeah, could be a lot worse.
How's the how are the kids handling this thing?
Yeah, I mean they're good. I mean they're okay with the school part, although they're learning from home. They have remote learning and using their iPads, et cetera. But no sports is killing them.
I mean, I like the whole baseball. It's weird because my kids play baseball and I coach both their team. You know, I help out and do the whole thing.
Yeah,
and it's weird, man. Like the whole spring, it's like. No baseball and
I love baseball. I was coaching their school team and no more. I mean, I think school's pretty much going to be canceled. Thankfully, they have tournament teams, but I don't know when that's going to come back or if it's going to come back at all. So, just trying to make the best of it.
I know.
A lot of practice. My arm's been thrown out. I've thrown my arm out pitching to them so much. So
that's great. That is cool. Lots to get into with the draft. Let's first start with the security standpoint, because I think it's really interesting, the virtual draft, and how do you attack your cybersecurity, Jeff?
Yeah. I haven't spoken to the Eagles about this or Howie, but we've certainly seen reports that there are concerns about hacking or people potentially getting into systems to know what they're doing or ahead of time. And then I just saw something recently about, obviously I'm getting off topic here a little bit, but just also about having foreign people outside your family into the house to set things up. And so there's a lot of logistics involved in trying to pull this off. I don't know. I mean, I still feel like it's going to happen. They're going to find a way to make it happen. The NFL really seems committed to still having the draft. So I think there'll be obstacles, certainly. But all in all, I think they'll be able to find a way to pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ultimately, I don't know how good it's going to be for TV and what kind of TV product it's going to be, because I guess they're going to do a lot of Skype stuff. And, you know, let's go into the basement of Andy Reid. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be different. It'll be interesting. And they'll have the guys in the studio talking about the draft. But, you know, it's going to be such a different, and it'll be tough for the networks to go from Skype call to studio to home studio.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be an
app. From what I understand, I don't know if this has been reported or not. I'm not necessarily reporting this, but this is what I was hearing, is that so while you could watch either NFL Network or you could watch ESPN, I think they're just going to have one broadcast.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, if ESPN was your flavor, if you love Mel Kiper or Lou Riddick, you could watch them. But if you like the NFL Network and Daniel Jeremiah, then you. But now I think that they're just going to combine the two.
You might as well. You might as well just do one and broadcast that. But I would be, actually, I would be seriously concerned about hacking, you know, both inside the league and outside the league. Yeah, who the hell knows?
Anytime, also, it's like, you know, it's, you're going to have it in Howie Roseman's house, per se. And is it just going to be Howie? I mean, in that house, I mean, obviously he's going to be connected, you know, I guess Microsoft Office or whatever they call it, to, you know, Jeffrey and Andy Weidel and Doug Peterson, et cetera. But does that change how decisions are made on the fly? I mean, you know, does that mean that Howie has the final say? I mean, typically he does have in these situations, except maybe the first round, obviously Jeff has to sign off on those, but yeah, you've always heard, and this has been the case before, you have all these voices in the room and somehow that can influence how decisions are made. I understand there's a draft board and they always say that things go off, you know, based upon that draft board, but that's not always the case. So you just wonder how that changes the dynamic as well.
Without a doubt, completely without a doubt. And listen, we all know, you know, you still look at drafts past and that it's not one guy gets these picks. They have their board. But also, you know, if you're an owner out there in the NFL and you feel like you know what you're doing, you get a pick. It's your team.
Yeah.
And sometimes the pick is good. Sometimes the pick is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
No, you're right. And you're influencing people in that room have more of a football say into making decisions that, you know, that you feel are within the best interest of the team, or at least that reflect your opinion of who should be picked or not picked. So, should be interesting.
All right. So let me ask you a question. The Eagles as a whole, because it's one of my daily five questions today, the Eagles as a whole, confidence in their ability to have a good draft, 1 to 10, 10 being supremely confident, where would you line up there?
I guess maybe a 6 or 7. When you compare their drafts to other teams, if you really sit down and look at it, I mean, it's not really that far off from some of even the better ones. And really, and of course, not that far from some of the lesser ones. People, when you look at drafts, you tend to do it in a vacuum, and I mean, look, it's really hard. And what, 3 starters is a really good draft. 2 is a good draft, and if you get less than that, then yeah, you have an issue. And I've been looking at a lot of drafts, and you just say, okay, you know, this team is considered to be really good at drafts, and you look at their picks, and you're like, yeah, I mean, they had one great year, and then another year, like, you know, Seahawks, for instance. I mean, they had one really great year that really two or three years in a row where they had some really good drafts. But I mean, since then, maybe not as much, you know? I mean, and if you look at the Eagles drafts over the last several years, I wouldn't say they're top five or even maybe even top 10, but, they've done a pretty good job. I mean, they've gotten some good players, players that they can build around. We still have, you know, the jury's still out on a bunch of these guys, but, I think all in all, the Eagles do a fair job of drafting.
Yeah, fair. It's interesting. I don't know. I hear you, and I think you make a good point about, you know, being in that vacuum and not looking at other drafts, other teams. But I just go back to some of the guys that, you know, listen, we've been doing this a long time, you and I, and the guys that we bring up on the air that we talk about, the Dalvin Cooks of the world, they just come right to mind. You know, the Robbie Anderson. I thinking, talking to Matt Rhule, going, dude, did Howie call you? He went, yeah, but I kept telling him to draft him in the seventh round. I'm screaming, yep. You got a guy in your backyard. Like, what are you doing, man? And then yep. You're going to try to steal him as a free agent, and the kid's going to go, I'm going to go wherever I get the most money. You could have drafted this kid in the seventh round. I don't know. And I look at that draft in 20. Like, here's the thing, Jeff. If you just indulge me for a moment, right? Let's start in 16 because you don't want to start before that. Chip Kelly had no clue what he was doing, right?
Yeah, 15 was bad. God.
I mean, it was awful. And Chip Kelly was terrible. But if you go 16, Carson was phenomenal, right? So the whole thing is wrapped around Carson. And you get big, I think you get big ups for Vitae in the fifth, who turns out to be an incredible player, and Jalen Mills in the seventh, right? That's a good job. In 17, I don't know. Are you happy with Derek Barnett? I'm not.
I think Barnett right now is, yeah, you'd have to view him as a little bit of a disappointment. It's still early. He's been plagued by injuries, but, you know, that number that you
were trading up to get him, 14.
15, you need to, actually they stayed put, remember?
That's right. But still, he was, I think,
you're still drafting 14, I think. Yeah, 14. Yeah. You need a player that should be pro bowl level. And he hasn't been that yet. He's now entering his fourth year, too. I mean, he's got to start clicking soon. And then,
Sidney Jones is a disaster.
Was a bad pick. Russell Douglas is a third rounder. You know, all right. Not horrible.
Limitations, though.
Yeah, not good. Danelle Pumphrey was a bad pick, considering, you know, it was one of the deepest running back drafts we've had in years.
Mac Hollins, 2 fourth-round picks, Mac Hollins and Pumphrey. That's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, well, Mac, you know, injuries kind of, I think Mac would have been a fine fourth-round pick if he wasn't plagued by the injuries. But, no, I mean, look, it's the top three guys you got to really focus on. And there were opportunities, as you mentioned, Dalvin Cook, they could have gotten, and even later in the draft, I mean, you know, Kamara was there. There were running backs there, impact running backs that you could have gotten that you didn't get. But again, that being said, you look at the, okay, well, they weren't the only team that didn't get some of these guys. So, and then missed out on guys, but 17's a problem.
Yeah.
18, you know, Dallas Goedert is a good pick.
Yeah.
I think Maddox in the fourth round is a good pick. I mean, they only had they've only had 10 selections the last 2 years.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you better hit on those guys.
I know.
Better hit on them. And we don't know about Andre Dillard. I think Miles Sanders is going to be a good pick. JJ, meh. We don't know.
You had nothing to do with that. No, I'm sorry.
You're done with him.
he can't run. Here's why I question what they're doing personnel-wise. I mean, I quite frankly, I still, it drives me nuts. And I'm going to go back to Aguilar and having him on the team last year, which was a ridiculous mistake at paying him $9 million. Except they made a worse mistake by giving Alshon Jeffrey that extension, which was outrageous to me, how you could possibly give him an extension knowing that he's never a fast guy and that he was definitely a Foles guy. Like, you got to have intel into your own team and know that he's a Foles guy. And that you're building this thing around Wentz, you gotta be on point there.
Yeah, That was a bad, I mean, that was a bad contract. It was early December 2017. You know, Alshon had played pretty well through his first 11 games, and they knew that he was playing with a torn rotator cuff. So they were kind of factoring that into the equation. But in retrospect, I think even at the time, there were some questions about whether Alshon had done enough to earn that contract. So, okay, he's 2018. He misses some years. He comes back, has a pretty good year. But then, it wasn't like he had done stuff to automatically say, okay, we're going to guarantee his salary for 2020. As I reported this week, Howie realized pretty quickly, Alshon was on the market by October. They were ready to move him if they could.
Yeah, and they failed. And that's a failure. And I look at these receivers with a franchise quarterback, and they haven't been good enough. I don't understand how you could have a franchise quarterback like Wentz and surround him with guys that can't play. And there's no mystery, these guys that have gone through here, that you go, can't play, can't run. That drives me insane. That's malfeasance. The offense itself isn't good, isn't the right fit for Wentz. It's why, I know you disagreed with me and we talked about this, but it's why I would move Ertz tomorrow if I got a decent haul. They're going to back up the truck for him, and it's going to be a mistake. You watch.
It could be. You could also make the argument, why don't you include Goddard in a trade for DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I want to keep Goddard because financially he's a better fit than Ertz, who I'm going to have to pay big dollars for. He's already, you said it, they're already far apart in what he wants.
Yeah, no, the Ertz deal, there's nothing there right now. But, there's nothing there right now. I mean, I think, eventually they like to keep their guys. And I don't know, I'm not saying that's a foregone conclusion, to be perfectly frank with you. I could see there being a scenario where they just let Ertz pay out his contract. And then they're in situation to have Goddard take over. But, I thought that, look, I understand that maybe Houston wasn't into what how he was offering in terms of DeAndre Hopkins, but don't you essentially solve that problem with one push of the button?
Yeah.
This is a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, and so you're putting a lot of pressure on hitting in the draft with a receiver. It's not, 2014 was the last great wide receiver draft. But there were still a couple misses in those first few rounds. Or guys who were good, but I don't think they turn out to be, Hall of Fame caliber or perennial Pro Bowl caliber receivers. I mean, Brandon Cooks has been a nice receiver. I think you'd have been fine with him.
Yeah.
But, Calvin Benjamin, there were guys who were good, but just didn't turn out to be great. Again, it's really hard to hit on these guys. So you better make sure you get the guy. And are they in a position at 21 to get the guy? That's the question.
To me, you got to get up and you got to get Ruggs.
And are you backing yourself into a corner saying, okay, making it almost a mandatory that they take a receiver in the first round? You don't want to go in saying, okay, we have to get a receiver here. You don't want to be in that situation because then you start forcing needs. Look, there's going to be talent in the second, third round at wide receiver, but they're in a position where they need to get somebody who can come in and be.
They need to trade up, Jeff. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to talk. Oh, no. Draft assets. Why? So they can flub those two? Give me a break. They need elite talent at the wide receiver position, and they ain't got it. They have they have below average talent at the wide receiver position.
All right, so are you surprised that they've only made one move on offense, which is bringing back Nate Sudfeld this offseason?
Yes.
Everything else has been defense.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. It's and again, we all said the same thing after that, after what happened with the Texans. We all said the same thing. There is DeAndre Hopkins being one of the most underrated and star receiver. It's amazing that you could be an underrated star receiver in this league, but he is. And I don't know, goes for a song. All right, we talked about that. But you got to now trade up and get elite talent. It's not that difficult to pick receivers. I'm sorry. In this day and age where on Saturday they're spreading it and throwing it, you should do better. You mentioned that 2014 draft. They walked away with Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff in the second and third round. I mean, really? I mean, again, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, all those receivers last year, D.K. Metcalf, all those guys that you talked about, and they come away with Arcega-Whiteside? What, are you kidding me? That's horrible.
Yeah. Hasn't been good. It hasn't been good, their evaluation of the wide receiver.
And again, it's not – I wouldn't kill them if your team wasn't built around Wentz, right? Like, if you were a team that is more of a defensive running type team, and you spent your money on like great defense and a big tie back, and you got a more of a game manager quarterback, all right. But you put all your money into Wentz. Well, then why wouldn't you open it up and have a real big play offense, big strike offense that suits the kid?
They're paying a little bit for the crimes of the past, and so they still have money committed to Alshon. They still have money committed to Sean, and they can't completely do what they want at that position because they're compromised by those deals, and that's part of the problem. I'm not underplaying what Deshaun can do when healthy, but he hasn't played in a 16-game season. All 16 games since 2013, he's going to be 33, nearing 34. I mean, how much can you expect out of him? I think, yeah, certainly he can come back and give you that deep ball threat, but can you rely on him? Can you, is Alshon, I still feel like Alshon's not going to be here ultimately. But if you're telling me he's coming back, I mean, geez, I mean, he clearly has lost a step. He can't stay healthy as well. This is not a receiver group. That was the problem last year.
I know. And look, look at Kansas City. Mahomes is terrific, but they act like they have true. Tyreek Hill is a true game breaker, and Harvey can run too. I mean, they got guys. And
Marcus Robinson can run too.
Sammy Watkins can catch the ball.
They have four receivers that are better than probably anything Eagles have right now.
Exactly. And that's where my frustration lies. Anything, speaking of going back on defense, anything with the Ngakoue thing? What's the latest there?
I just don't feel like they have what it takes to get him. Especially if it's got to be a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they change the price, the asking price, then maybe they can get in play. But I think right now they're not going to give up that first round pick for obviously a good defensive end. And you could certainly make the argument that they could add there as well. But I mean, they're committed to Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett. So my guess is that the Eagles probably won't be in play for that.
Let me ask you a would you question. Would you move, if you turned Ertz into draft capital and walked away with and moved Ertz with the draft capital you turn him into, your first and second round pick, and walked away with Ruggs and Ngakoue, would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because you get one guy that has a proven record, and you get probably the top speed guy, which is something they certainly need, at wide receiver. Yeah, and you have Goddard at tight end. I mean, yeah, I like Goddard, but Ertz is better. And if that included Goddard, I understand why you're not doing it. You wouldn't do it. You'd trade Ertz over Goddard because of the contract situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's and the money. Purely a money right. play. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be money play. But, this team right now is set up to be a 12-personnel team again. I just don't think that's a winning formula long term.
Not when you have Wentz as your. And again, I just keep going back to it. Wentz is your quarterback. Does Doug? Let me ask you a question, because you know Doug well, and and you kind of know how he thinks. Do you think he would like, if he had the personnel, to really open this thing up?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's. It's not just hitting those guys downfield. It's creating the space underneath for the other guys, or drawing the safety over top away, or forcing teams to play a certain defense that you know that you can attack. It's making the defense more predictable because you have so many weapons and especially on the outside. Look, I mean, the Eagles cornerbacks alone show you how difficult it is to cover receivers on the outside.
I know.
there aren't that many cornerbacks in this league that can run with those guys for all 60 minutes. I understand the argument for not spending a lot or dumping a lot of capital in the wide receiver position. If you look at Super Bowl teams, I still agree with the basic premise philosophy of the Eagles is to, build from the lines out. I get all that. They're strong. They're still pretty strong there, especially in the offensive line. But, you need, again, this is the glaring weakness of this team last year. All the numbers back it up. Basically, just what you see with the naked eye backs it up. They got to hit that wide receiver in the draft now, because unless to how he can pull off some trade, and I'm not really sure what kind of receiver, number one receivers available in a trade. He's going to have to do it. They're going to have to do it in the draft and hope and wish and pray on Deshaun, JJ, and Alshon if they bring him back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right on. Jeff, man, always fun during this. Just be able to have a good conversation, man. You know how much I love talking football with you.
Appreciate it.
Keep up the good work. We'll be reading you. We'll be following you on Twitter as always. And again, safety and blessings to your to family and the kids, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, you too.
Thanks, brother. The great Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kind enough to talk a little football. I love it. We'll come back. Take your phone call, 610-632-0975. We'll get back to your phone call straight ahead. It is Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk a little bit about your lawn, shall we? Get to that period of time, lawn period, lawn time. Would you like that greener, weed-free lawn that's also safer for your family and your pets? Talk about going to play baseball, right? Go have a catch on that lawn. Choose Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn uses safer organic-based products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn, and this creates a safer lawn for you, your family, your pets to enjoy. With Natural Lawn, you're not going to scarify beauty for safety. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass, fewer weeds, using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This isn't a one-size-fits-all service. Nah. It's customized treatments for your lawn's specific need. Whether it's wet, dry, sunny, shady conditions, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, it's different. So Natural Lawn's programs will deliver that lush green lawn you've always craved. Right now, special deal for our listeners. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program, and you'll receive free seeding every year. That's free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today. Let them know Cuz hooked you up. 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Call Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Cuz Radio with Chunas. Don't forget, playback come up 12:20. It's a Carson playback. So we'll get into the Carson playback. Coming up at 12:20, it'll be Eagles and Steelers. Carson's third game.
This is pre half the city hating him because of the false thing. Even though it's not half, but you know what I mean.
What do you think?
How many people are out on Carson?
Yeah. Do you think people are back in on him all the way?
No, not everybody.
No?
No, you saw folding guys.
And as soon as it goes down again during the playoff game, even though it was a concussion, there are still people that
you really
are...
believe there's still anti-Wentz.
Oh my God,
Wentz people!
I got for weeks. I'll tell you what. If I was him, I would have gotten back out there.
Okay, but you also put too much in the emotional rantings of the Twitterverse.
Oh, this was on air, man. This is different.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I yelled at the guy. I'm like, dude, the guy got a concussion.
I didn't get that. Did we get that on the show?
I'm sure we did.
I don't know, Bo. I don't.
I'm sure we did.
I don't think so. All right. Well, let's.
I mean, I'm sure it's more like 80-20 at this point. Or even 90-10.
Yeah, I think you exaggerate. 90-10, that's fine. There's always the 10% lunatic fringe. You got to throw out the 10% both ways. Don't you?
Yeah, you're probably right, because they're never going to be happy.
I mean, listen, there's still, I believe, the Mr. X's of the world.
Yes.
Who doesn't think he's going to be that good, but I think most people realize, like, all right, he's credible, right?
Yeah, I'm sure those last 4 weeks, but then you still heard from people that said, well, those last 4 weeks were against teams that weren't good, and then as soon as it mattered, he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's absurd.
You know they're out there, though.
That's absurd. So coming up, I got to tell you just two things, and we're going to get back to the phones. There's a field of 64 South Philly food treats going around.
All right.
I got to hit you with this. And also, I got to out you on last night.
I don't think it's as major of a violation as you think it is.
No?
I was miserable during it.
Okay. Listen to this. So last night, Christy, your sweetheart of a wife, has a Zoom call with her friends.
Yes.
Her friends. Now, it was a hangout session. It's the virtual hangout, right?
Yeah, everybody's doing it.
So she has the virtual hangout with her friends. You somehow have to be on the call?
Yes.
Now, I don't understand this.
Now, here's the reason why. All the other boyfriends and husbands got on it. I was the only one who was not on it. And all of a sudden, I get, Andrew, come up here. And I'm like, what? And I come up. All the boyfriends are on now, too. And I'm like, okay.
And
I start to walk away.
Oh my God.
And she gives me the look. Cause, I can't be the one guy that's not on it.
Oh my God. I actually feel sorry for you.
So what I did was, I was like, all right, I'll be right back. I went down.
You got a beer?
More than a beer. A nice glass of whiskey. I was like, all right, if we're doing this.
So, but what did you do?
I sat there.
Well, what? Here's what I understand. So she's having this Google Hangout, right?
Yes. Yes.
And she's talking to her girlfriend, whatever, right? What? Why are you there?
They eventually start playing a game. And it was like
virtual game night. Slit my wrists.
Wow.
Are you gonna be kidding me?
If anyone knows,
that sounds like a Jamie thing.
If anyone knows what quiplash is, then you know what it is. That's a game that's going around these days. And
all right, I'm out on stuff like this.
Yeah, no,
I would have been out. On
I
stuff
wanted
like
to
this.
Be out.
It doesn't matter.
But I had no excuse.
Wait,
I had no
quiplash.
Yes.
What is quiplash?
Basically. So let's say there was six couples, right? Of course, each couple's on a team.
You guys are just the most uncool generation
ever. And it was like it's a fill in the blank game, but you fill it in with funny answers. And so,
oh my God.
I participated because I had absolutely no excuse. The TV, I had already moved to the house, the new one. We did that before, you know, after work yesterday. So I had no excuse. I couldn't go. I couldn't even fake a.
I don't even blame you. I blame these other dudes. You got caught because you were the only one not on the call. What is that? Why do you got to be present while your girlfriend is doing a Zoom call? Do you want your friends?
Well, actually,
the guys
went to my high school, so I know the guys.
So what? But you don't. You're not your friends. First of all, are you going to be out there zooming with these dudes? Like, really?
I'll shoot him a text.
Oh my God!
I'll shoot him a text and say what's up. Yeah, I had fun. It was nice.
Don't say you had fun.
I had a blast.
No.
In case someone's listening, I had a blast.
Oh no! Come on.
I had a blast. In case someone's listening.
All right. VG, I can't even give you a violation because it's really not your fault.
No, it's not.
It's not your fault.
Because I was the only one that wasn't on.
Yeah, it's not your fault. I take back the violation because it's really not your fault. You're stuck. You're in a bad spot. I didn't know all the details. All you said was you were on a Zoom call with your wife's girlfriend.
Right.
And I'm going, what?
Yeah, now you get a little more detail. And I was just like, all right. I knew I was in trouble when I walked up.
Dude, what happened to dudes? Why would you do that? Really? Why?
Oh, no, it's a fun group.
Stop.
They were at my wedding. I was at somebody else's wedding in the group.
Okay. Yeah, listen. I'm sure it's a nice group.
Yeah, they're awesome people.
Whatever. I'm sure it is. I'm sure. And listen. To me, you go out to a bar, you know, when the social distancing period's over, everybody hangs out. That's cool. But, yo, dude, you can't be playing, what do you call it, Quiplash? Over Zoom?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I don't get it. Maybe I'm old.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.